This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb. Today I'm talking with Scott Nixon, a pilot in Alaska, who wrote a book called Finding Carla.
Well, why don't we jump right in and tell me what's this book all about?
Well, this book is a crash survival story. It's the, I call it the blood behind the regulations for the ELTs, and it happened a few years before ELTs were mandated to be aboard all U.S. aircraft by the FAA, and what happened was a family went down in the wilderness. You know, they survived for a couple of months, but they were never found. And when the air crash was found, the diary and letters and record of these people became public. And it was shocking enough that it inspired the lawmakers to push for the mandatory ELT laws that we have today, that it saved many, many people.
Yeah, what a tragic story. And when did this happen? What year are we talking about?
It happened in March 1967.
Wow.
In Northern California. Yeah.
Okay. And so what was the situation?
Well, it was the story of a family of three. They left Portland, Oregon in a Cessna 195 bound for San Francisco. They got caught up in some mountainous weather just outside of Redding, California, or some weather over the mountains just outside of Redding, California. You know, the plane ice up, they went down. You know, the big tragedy, too, was that they were only 8 miles from a U.S. highway. They were below an airway that there were 60 commercial flights that passed overhead every day, and they still were not found. You know, there had been a search for them. It was pretty rugged country. I went down there myself just to make sure nobody could have walked out of there, and I believe nobody could have, you know, through the snow and the wilderness, even though the highway was so close. You know, they had no way to signal these overflying aircraft that they wrote about in their diary and letters. You know, they just see these big commercial flights, and they just, you know, they might as well have been on Mars. And then slowly they succumbed, you know, to exposure and malnutrition. And the pilot, the father in the story, he tried to walk out, and he lost his life early. So, yeah, then, you know, months later, some hunters found the plane crash not far. It was actually near a logging road. You know, they beat their way into the brush. They found the diary and letters on top of the instrument panel, and the rest is history. So,
yeah, what a tragedy. So, yeah. So I imagine during all this time they were lost, was it, I mean, like we can picture it today with the kind of media we have today, that there would be daily coverage. Is that how it was back then?
No, the coverage lasted just about long enough for the CAP search period, which is about 2 weeks. And then the son in the family who helped me with this story, he just never gave up looking. And he spent, 108 days of his own life, you know, flying a Super Cub, just looking and looking and looking for his family. And, you know, he felt pretty alone because, you know, the coverage died off and the interest died off, and everybody just sort of wrote it off saying, well, these people, you know, went down, the weather was bad, nobody could survive. And so, you know, he kept it alive, but it was just sort of a personal mission. And then finally, I think, you know, he faced the reality that it's likely nobody survived. But the media coverage, you know, I wrote about it in the book, it just sort of died off after the, you know, they went missing and it made headlines for a few days, and then it just sort of, you know, tied up, and the CAP said, well, it's over with, and, you know, then you just never read about it again.
Wow. So how did you come across this story? How did you get into writing this book?
Well, you know, this story, it's a chilling story, and I explain it in the prologue of my story how, you know, back in the early 1970s, my father had an aircraft, actually the same type, a Cessna 185, and he, you know, I was a young boy, and I was in a hangar, you know, polishing it, and he had just bought an ELT, and some of his pilot buddies were there, and, you know, he was talking about the radio and about this family that had gone down in the mountains, and it really it made me curious, and it was a story that bothered me and haunted me all my life. I just, you know, I kept trying to find out about it, and I, for various reasons, I never could find out about this story, because there's a historical misconception in this story that the ELTs were inspired because of the loss of, I don't know if you remember Nick Baggage, the senator from Alaska, and Harold Boggs, the House Speaker. They went down in 1972, and they never were found up in Alaska, and there was a huge search for them, I think one of the biggest ones in history. And there's just this misconception that the Baggage-Boggs search is the, you know, sort of the impetus behind the ELTs, which is not true. The ELTs were signed into law in 1970, and I've provided the documents in the back of Finding Carla that show this sort of the conversation that was going on in the Senate and the House of Representatives over the ELTs up until 1970 when the law was signed.
I'd like to know a little bit about your process. How did you get into writing the story? How long did it take you? How did you find all the information, that kind of thing?
Well, it took me a long time because I'm really not an author. I'd written a few articles for Alaska Magazine and some aviation websites. And I, you know, this story, I was working as a check airman for this little company that I worked for. And when the 406 millihertz ELTs were mandated and they were put in all our airplanes, you know, I figured, well, I need to update my information on ELTs. So I started reading a little bit about them because I needed to talk to pilots about them. And then the name of this story is Finding Carla. And I read an article that referenced the Carla Corvus diary. And that's when I knew I knew that was the key to what I needed to find out. And so I Googled Carla Corvus and her diary. And then I found all these articles about this accident. And then, you know, the rest is history. I found out that my friend Al Owen Jr., the pilot that flew the Super Cub, lived in my hometown. And so I got a hold of him, and then I just started putting it together. And, you know, the whole thing turned out really to be sort of an investigation because, you know, I've been a police officer in a previous life, and I just started writing it as a chronological story, an investigation, and, you know, adding the pieces to it. And at the beginning, it was really hard because a lot of the documents were missing. And Al had said, well, I have the diary, and I thought, well, boy, I need to get the diary, and I'll just write the book. And it was quite a bit more than that. And then over time, the records, the letters all showed up. Some of the official records showed up. And then I was able to put it all together into a story, which people seem to really enjoy now. So.
Yeah. And you did actually, did you go visit the site? Is the airplane still there?
No, the airplane was removed. And it was skidded downhill by some loggers and buried in a big pit. And then I went there and really looked hard, and the road that they had skidded it onto and everything has all been rehabilitated, and so I think it may be pretty hard to find, and there's a few parts and pieces of it that belong to the sons and the family that they kept, and so no, it's all gone now. Huh. But I did go to the site just because, you know, there'd been a lot of second guessing about these people that, you know, hey, they were only 8 miles from a highway. They could have walked out. But I believe I covered that in the book, why I believe they couldn't. You know, they were hurt pretty bad. The snow was, you know, they're up in the high country. The snow is so deep that, you know, they didn't have anything to eat. It's just impenetrable country. And even in good weather, when I went out there, I just found that the brush was salacious. It was hard to see 3 feet, and you know, you get so tangled up in it, I don't see how anybody could even move through there when there was snow over it.
So if people are interested in this book and learning more about this story, where would they go to find your book?
Well, it's going to be released at Barnes & Noble's on the 27th this month and pretty much throughout the country. And then it's available online on Amazon.com, and then it's on the Barnes & Noble's website.
Well, thanks very much.